So I want to make sure that you understand that at any point in time, if it starts getting warm in here, by all means, open the windows. Don't feel like you can't get up and do that. I have kept them in thy name. What does Jesus mean when he says in John 17, verse 12, I have kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I have guarded them, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. What meaning does it have for us? Are we meant to keep each other in the same way that he did and meant? I believe we will find the answers to these two questions in the totality of the life of Jesus. His life was always filled with continual praying and feeding upon the Father's word. So just from this, we can understand that one way in which Jesus kept them in the Father's name was for them to see the connection Jesus had with the Father and that it was vital to all he did and would do. John chapter 12, verse 44 through 50. Jesus cried out and said, He who believes me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has a judge. The word that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority. The Father who sent me has himself given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has bidden me. This connection to the Father and the importance of those who believed in him to see it again, as we stated, is restated again by Jesus to Philip. John chapter 14. Verses 8 through 11. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. We will see this continual emphasis on the connection between the Father and Jesus throughout these last few chapters in John. But for now, what does it mean for us? For us, I believe it means this. In order to keep each other in the name of the Father, we must pray for each other. We need to reflect upon our connection in prayer to the Father, to Jesus, and to and for each other as one of the prime ways in which we keep each other in the Father's name. We must also feed each other the Father's words that he has given us to speak. Thus, instead of filling the air with our words, the Father has given us to speak his word, even as Jesus did. John chapter 14, verse 10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. And again, what I had just read previous, 49 through 50 of John 12, "For I have not spoken of my own authority. The Father who sent me has himself given me commandment what to say, what to speak." Let's take a minute for us to understand just the word keep itself. The Greek word terio has a sense of guarding from loss or injury. There is the understanding of keeping your eye on, holding fast, along with taking note of things as connected to prophecy fulfilled. Finally, there's also some aroma of being staying unmarried. The same word shows up in these scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 4 through 7, chapter 4, verse 7. "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." 2 Corinthians 11:9. "And when I was with you and was in want, I did not burden anyone, for my needs were supplied by the brethren who came from Macedonia, so I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way." And the word refrained is the word kept. In order to get a true sense of the way in which Jesus intended for us to understand this word keep and its varied concepts in the phrase, "I have kept them in thy name," not only do we need to remember the direct connection that Jesus had with his Father, in prayer and being fed from the Father's word, but also in the way Jesus understood from the word kept or terio. If I tried to summarize the total sense of the word kept with a word or phrase, I could not do it. But the Lord Jesus does so for us. In these scenarios in the life of Jesus and his discussions with the disciples as written by the Apostle John, we see Jesus revealing the multifaceted scope of the word keep or kept. We find Jesus helping us to understand how he kept us through active and living parables. One such parable which demonstrated the worth of humility and the importance of that characteristic in keeping us in the name of the Father was when he washed the disciples' feet. For us then, Jesus is guiding us and teaching us that this is what I did and am doing to keep you in my Father's name. I humbly wash even the feet of the one who would betray me. You also must follow and learn from my humility, something which Jesus learned from Abraham when he gave the choosing of the land first to Lot, and also Moses when he placed his election as leader not on his own insistence but on the selection which the Father would make. So in humility and service and tender care, Jesus taught us another way to keep each other in the Father's name. But this action of humility was not isolated. What Jesus also shared with us is that the washing of feet was motivated by the fact that they were no longer servants to each other, but friends. Jesus does not stop there. It is not just a social friendship, but one of the deepest forms of love. Love was motivation. John chapter 13, verses 23 through 26. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was lying close to the breast of Jesus. So Simon Peter beckoned to him and said, "Tell us who it is of whom he speaks." And so lying thus close to the breast of Jesus, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give this morsel when I have dipped it." Here Jesus shared with one who felt loved by him. Then Jesus tells the truth in his heart, verse 34 through 35 of the same chapter, chapter 13. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And again, he reemphasizes this connection to the Father in chapter 14, verse 12. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." And verse 20 and 23 of chapter 14. "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered them, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Again, Jesus confirms that keeping us in the Father's name always means being with you. John chapter 14, verse 18. "I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you." Also, John chapter 14, verses 25 through 28. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to my Father, for the Father is greater than I." And again he restates being with them, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Again, Jesus teaches that keeping us in the Father's name means that we must ask, pray, and seek as a critical part of the keeping act, and also as a way in which we can keep each other in the Father's name. In the scripture, in verse 12 of chapter 17, to which we're attending, where he says, "While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I have guarded them, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." We now look at the other word that Jesus uses, which is the word translated guarded. The Greek word here, guarded, is phylosso, which is a combination of two thoughts. The phul, or full, part of the word is the concept of germination, growth, swelling, puff, an offshoot, a sprout, a leaf, a race, a clan. The second part of the word has to do with isolation, watching, being aware, observing, being on guard, preserving, obeying, saving. Once again, Jesus uses a word which paints the complete picture of what is in his heart. Jesus then completes that singular expression and expands it for his disciples and us, that we might further understand how he kept us in his Father's name and how we can keep each other in our Father's name. Consider first how Jesus turns our minds to the origin of the seed before it becomes a vine. He says to the Greeks who were seeking to know him and to Philip and Andrew in John chapter 12, verses 23 through 26. Jesus answered them, "The hour is coming for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So the first message is that we must die to the world, even beginning with the Lord Jesus. The Father had planted Jesus, the vine. Now Jesus, through this metaphor, illustrates to us how he kept and keeps us in the Father's name. John chapter 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." Even as we look at the second day of spring and notice that the trees are blossoming and know that those blossoms will turn into the fruit of leaves or bear actual fruit, we understand that this abiding with the vine is critical to our being kept and guarded in the Father's name. It entails loving Jesus, keeping his commandments as Jesus loved the Father and kept his commandments. It's also a vital recognition that Jesus makes with the Father as the vine dresser and helps us understand that at the heart and root, the vine is the master vine dresser, the Father whose care and love for the vine is eternal and glorious in the Son. And finally, Jesus completes this image of unity with the essence of the power of the vine to grow and bear fruit. Verse 12 through 17. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than a man lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, to love one another." Jesus understands that keeping his friends who believe, love, and are connected in the bond of the Father's love must of necessity sometimes suffer, even as he suffered. And because Jesus considers them his friends, he does not hide the sorrowful reality that was going to come to them. They needed to watch, to beware. They needed to observe the world around them. It was important to preserve, obey, and save themselves and each other by isolation from the world in the sensual view and avoiding the world, but not taking them out of the world. These warnings were not done in a vacuum, but rather as Jesus reveals to them his motive and concern in verse 1 through 4 of chapter 16. I have said all this to you to keep you from falling. They will put you out in the synagogues, and indeed the hour is coming that whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Keeping them in the Father's name meant also in sharing in the suffering of Jesus, whom they love. Yet it is Jesus who constantly reassures them that the connection to him through the work of the Counselor, which he will send. John 16, 12 through 15. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And again, Jesus does not hide from them the pain and sorrow that they're going to know, but keeps them in the Father's name with the reassurance that their love of him, through their love of him, they will know joy, and that joy will sustain them. Because they love Jesus, the Father himself will love them. The reminder to ask to pray never cease, and Jesus keeps reemphasizing, it is one of the most powerful ways to be kept in the Father's name. Finally, Jesus states one of the most critical elements of being kept in the Father's name when he says in John chapter 16, verses 31 through 32. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? The hour is coming, indeed it has come when you will be scattered and every man to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." To be kept in the Father's name. Hang on. That recognition that he was not alone, okay, was again another way in which we were to understand how he kept us in his name, in the Father's name, and how we are to keep each other in the Father's name, knowing that we are, in fact, never alone. Lastly, we have one of Jesus' most beautiful, most touching, heartfelt prayers, John 17, verses 1 through 3. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son with the glory, that the Son may glorify thee, since thou hast given them power over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." To be kept in the Father's name was a charge to the Father given to Jesus, which Jesus took on with a heart of love to his Father and the dedication of a friend who was willing to die for them out of his love for his Father and his friends. Jesus' whole focus is on the belief of his friends who believed that all that Jesus did was connected and originated from the Father. As Jesus realizes that he's leaving and going to the Father, his love does not diminish for those whom the Father gave him. Jesus, in his understanding from the Father, knows that the fruit of his disciples' friends will bear also needs to be kept in the Father's name. And so he says in chapter 17, verses 20 through 26, "I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one, even in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be even one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. And Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which thou hast given me in thy love for me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these know that thou hast sent me. I have made known to them thy name, and I will make it known that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is our legacy. This is our heritage. This is the glory we carry. It is the calling to keep each other in the name of the Father. In conclusion, when Jesus said, I have kept them in thy name, he meant he prayed for them and showed them his tie with the Father. He showed them the Father's words and spoke only those words to them, not his own. Our humility to service to each other, and for the sake of humility, not for the sake of humility, but in the showing of tender care. We must see each other not just as servants, but as friends. It is a friendship of the deepest kind for which we are willing to give up our lives, because the motivation is love. Keeping us in the name also meant always being with you, meaning always being with each other. Keeping is being able to trust in asking each other to seek and to pray, as well as asking each other and sharing with each other. We must die to the world as even Jesus was planted by the Father and died to the world, so he may grow as the vine, and that this is a work of the Father, and that our oneness with this vine is also critical to being kept in the name of the Father. We also share the sufferings as friends. Jesus tells them what is coming, as the angel spoke to Abraham of the destruction of Sodom. It is a charge of the Father to Jesus. It is also to us to keep us in the name of the Father. So we must do with each other, not only where we sent out. To preach the gospel, but also to keep each other in the name of the Father, through prayers, through love, through friendship, through sharing our hearts, through serving, through working together, through realizing that we are a part of the work of the Father, growing in the vine, willing to give our lives for each other, not with our words, but with the Father's words, that we need to share the joys and sorrows we face in our lives with each other, and also be with each other in our various trials and joys and needs. This is just the beginning of our understanding of the work of the Father, that the work the Father gave to Jesus. But it is my hope that we see the gravity of this work of keeping each other in the name of the Father, even as Jesus did. But keeping in mind the greatest motivation for this work was because we believe in the Father who sent Jesus, and because we love Jesus, the Father, and each other.